got your Bibles, turn back to Ephesians chapter number 5 tonight. Ephesians chapter number 5, go right back to verses 22 through 33. We started our message this morning on maximum marriage with minimum misery. And I hope it was a help to you. And we want to be a help to you tonight. This morning, we preached our first point, the spiritual connection. Now, I'm going to make a statement now, and don't buck on me here, but I'm going to tell you this flat out, this is important. You saw this morning there is a great picture between marriage and Christ and his bride, because we're both bone of the bone and flesh of his flesh. Amen? Amen. Now, notice carefully. Listen to what I'm about ready to say. And you don't want to say no because you'll be wrong. If a saved man marries an unsaved woman, they can't be one in Christ. Amen. Now, hold a minute. You said, well, can they ever be one in Christ? Oh, yeah. When both of them saved. When they both got saved, then they're one in Christ. Two unsaved people can't be one in Christ. They cannot have a successful marriage in the Lord unless they've had a spiritual relationship with Jesus Christ. Somebody say amen. You say, well, why is there so many messes? Because we have families that are not spiritually connected, so they cannot be successfully connected. You cannot have success in a marriage without a spiritual connection. Now, let me go a little further. If you're, and it just not, now, y'all hear me out. I'm coming. Hear me out. You both can be saved and one flesh, but not be spiritually connected if one of you is backslidden. You're not going to get, your home will not be right. Good preaching. So that's why it's so important to be saved, number one. Then number two, be in fellowship with God and be close to God, living for God, so your home can be a successful home and have a successful connection. And we'll be dealing with that successful connection tonight. Look with me. And this time, stand with me, and let's read again those verses in Ephesians 5. We were over in Genesis. I won't go over there tonight because we dealt thoroughly with the spiritual connection. But tonight, I want to give you your successful connection. You said, I don't understand why my home's not successful and somebody else's is. Amen. Well, I'll show you tonight. And by the way, be sure you don't base success on how much money you have or how nice your house is or how many cars you got. And there's nothing wrong with all of those. I hope you're blessed with all of those. But that's not success. I know a lot of rich people and a lot of people got a lot of stuff, but their home is miserable. Am I preaching?
Amen.
So don't ever base success on monetary or material things. Thank God. If you got material things, you ought to praise God. What you got is a good marriage plus some icing on the top of the cake. Good preaching. Now let's go over the successful connection. Let's look at verse 22. Let me start at verse 21. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Wives, submit yourselves under your own husbands as unto the Lord. As the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Amen. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, notice the connection. So let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives. Even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water of the, by the word, Amen. That he may present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle, or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth, even as the Lord the church. See the connection. For as we are members of his body, and of his flesh, and of his bones, for this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined or cleaved, as we said this morning, unto his wife, and they too shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Let me go on. Verse 33. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself, and the wife, see that she reverence her husband. Father, thank you for this great passage of Scripture. We ask you tonight to help us to preach it. Preach it in such a way that the people will gravitate to the truth tonight. And we'll praise you and honor you in Jesus' name for his sake. Amen. I want to make a statement right off. There's some of my Baptist brethren that have tried to preach this passage, and instead of helping their church, they turned off people. Come on now. And you know what? If you approach this passage wrong, you can turn people off. Hello. If you just get up there and try to be a thug, you could turn people off. But I'm not going to do that tonight. I'm going to do my best just to preach the Word of God to you, show you from Scripture, and beseech you to follow what God has for you. Amen? Now again, let me ask you, do you want a successful home? Come on now. More than two of you ought to want. Do you want a successful home? Amen. All right. Here it is. You said, are you going to give me some big, deep something? No. I tell you what, I'm trying to practice what I preach. Can I tell you a little story that happened this evening? This happened to me this evening. I guess I was tested to see if I was going to follow my preaching. Y'all want to hear my story? I mean, it happened this evening. And I want you to know when I first got married, if it would happen, I'm going to just be honest with you. My little immature baby self would have threw a fit. I would have. Now, let me tell you what happened this evening. I'm glad y'all asked. My wife looked to me this evening. She said, she had a box of shoes. I give her a lot of money. She had more shoes. She had $5,000 worth of shoes. She said, would you carry them and take them to for Highways and Hedges to give those girls tonight? I said, I'd be honored to. So I carried them pretty heavy for an old fat man. And I said, honey, the only thing I want you to do, would you get my Bible and carry it, because I can't carry your shoes and my Bible. I got it. So I get here, take the shoes up, went to Kroger's and got her donuts and all that stuff for her little Highways and Hedges girls. And then I come down and I look in my car, no Bible. So I thought, okay, she's carried the Bible up there. She went in the room, she forgot, and took my Bible up there. So I walk up there and I said, where is my Bible? She said, oops, I forgot it. Now, back in the day, I would have probably been ugly. I just looked at her, and she said, by the way, you've got plenty of time to run back home and get it. I thought, she really tested me today. But I did, without complaining. I'm kind of with joy, and I went back home, got it, didn't get upset, didn't get aggravated, because it don't mean nothing. Can I tell you, most of the fights we have in our relationship mean nothing. They're about as stupid as they can be. They're ignorant. We fall out on some of the dumbest stuff. Come on now, help me preach. I mean, we're just absolutely morons sometimes. Now, some of y'all are going to be a moron when you get in your car tonight and have a fight before the after this great message today. Yes, I don't want to ask how many of you fought after this morning, but I want to. Let me give you this tonight, and I'll try to go quickly. I'm going to only give you 2 points. There may be a few sub-points. Now, you said you want a successful home, right? Now, let me show you how to get it. 2 main points under that thought. Number one, I'm going to preach on God's way for wives. Then number two, I'm going to preach on God's work for husbands. Now, look, just follow me in the Word of God. Would you go there? Just go right back to verse 22. God's way for wives. Faithful, listen, faithful fellowship. God, ladies, and you may not believe this, ladies, but you got the easy deal here. The easier of the two deals. It is easier to follow than men than what I'm going to give you in a minute. I mean, God just says, be faithful to follow your husband. Now, I'm going to make a statement here, and I want every one of you to hear this. The Bible said, obey your husband in the Lord. Now, I want you to know something. If your husband asks you to do something unethical, immoral, or ungodly, and tries to keep you from the church, you do not have to obey him. Said, obey your husband in the Lord. That's good preaching right there. Amen. Don't y'all die on me tonight. Now, let me give you some things. First of all, God's requirement. Look at verse 22. Wives, submit yourselves under your own husbands. Now, let me explain to you. Let me just give you what that means. The word submit means this. Voluntarily place yourself under the authority of your husband. Now, a carnal-minded person won't want to do that. This feminist movement we have in America today, they don't do that. But they're wicked and ungodly. Come on. And I'd like to say a few more things about them. Hello, this Me Too movement and this Planned Parenthood movement, I can't stand any of them. I think they're all wicked as a devil. Now listen carefully. God don't want you to just submit to him outwardly, ladies. He wants you, by the way, you'll never submit to your husband outwardly until you submitted to God inwardly. Amen. Now notice number two, verse 23. The reason. Look at the reason. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Now, I want y'all to put your finger there and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter number 11 for a minute. Just turn over real quick. I want to show you something. Now, here's where a lot of folks get this thing wrong. Now, notice it. For the husband is the head of the wife, and even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Now, what is God's reason, ladies, to put you in submission? Now, listen to me. It's his order. How many of y'all believe God's a God of order? Amen. Somebody help me. Now, I'm going to make a statement here. I really want to get this across. Some of you men, you better listen to this. This has nothing to do with equality nor superiority. God did not put you in as the head of your house because you're not equal. Nor did he put you in the head of your house because you're superior. That's just not true. That's just not true. You say, well, wait a minute. Well, I'm going to prove it. Go over to 1 Corinthians chapter number 11. Are you there? Say amen. Amen. Now notice this. Boy, this is good stuff. And verse number 3. But I would you have you to know that the head of every man is what? Christ. And the head of the woman is what? Man. Now notice this. And the head of Christ is what? Now wait a minute. Jesus said, if you see me, you've seen the Father. Jesus Christ is co-equal and co-eternal with the Father. The Holy Ghost is co-equal and co-eternal with the Father. But God's order is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Has nothing to do with equality and has nothing to do with superiority. Be honest with you, there's a lot of ladies that, far as I'm concerned, they're more superior to their husband and a lot of times closer to God than their husband. Are y'all with me? I wish we'd get that. Because sometimes this is preached to you. Ladies, this is preached to you. You get a little bit aggravated. And you say, well, he thinks I'm less. And he thinks I'm not equal. And he thinks he's superior. No, 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 no. That is just not scriptural. God has an order. All you got to understand, if you just related to God, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, just said that God was over Christ. But Christ said, if you see me, you see the Father. We're co-equal, co-identical. Somebody help me preach. Boy, if I could get that across tonight. See, the devil's in favor of unisex. He tries to dismiss morals. Now, I will give you a few things, ladies. Listen carefully. If you don't submit, let me give you a few things you're going to have a problem with. First of all, you're going to have a problem with God because you'll have a spiritual problem. Hello? Then you're going to have, then you're going to warp your husband. It's going to be unnatural, Jeff, because see, if the lady becomes the head, it warps the husband. Instead of being a completer, you become a crippler. See, God, ladies, God made you to complete your husband. God made you to complete him, not cripple him. Am I preaching? Stay with me. I'm going somewhere. Another problem you'll have a problem with your children. Because what happens is, if you get the order wrong, then your children ain't going to have the right respect for authority either. Why do we have so much rebellion in our homes? Because the order's not right in the homes. So what's the kids do? They just follow mom and dad and they become rebellious. If they don't have a right example, they're not going to walk right for God. Somebody help me. All right. Man, I got to move it. Now look at verse 24. Look at the results. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so wives be subject unto her own husband in everything. Here's what happens. When the church gets subject to Christ, we evangelize the world. Somebody say amen. Submission does not take away your freedom, but submission helps you to be free. Now, ladies, that's all I got to say to you. Now, let me ask you something. Did that make you women mad? Honestly. That's just Bible. You don't need to get up no tree and get mad. That's just Bible. Now, did I tell y'all had the best end of this deal? Did I tell you that? Now I'm going to prove it. God gave us the hard end of the deal. Listen to me, man. When I got saved, it wasn't no problem me following God. It wasn't no problem me following my pastor. It wasn't no problem me doing what they told me to do. I just followed all they said, do this. I done that. Well, how difficult is that? But now listen to this next point. Not only God's way for wives, but God's work for husbands, and I'll be done. Boy, this will help you. Look with me in the Bible. Go down to verse 23. First of all, notice the position, for the husband is the head of the wife. That's his position. He's a leader. You're not a brawler. You're not a dictator. You are a leader. if you're anything other than a leader, you're out of the will of God as a husband. It got quiet here. I think the women responded to me better than men did. Now I want you to notice the pattern. Look at verse 23 and 24. Are y'all just reading your Bible? For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives. Now, what God wants you to do, husband, he wants you to have loving leadership. Loving, let me say it again, loving leadership. Look at verse 24, one more time. Look at this. Therefore, as the what? Church. As the church is subject to Christ. Here's what it is. You subject yourself to Christ, husband. And as we're subject to Christ, then we're subject to him in the will of God and the work of God. Now notice. Notice your practice. This is hard stuff right here, Chad. I like their end better. I'm going to tell you what. It's a lot easier to follow than it is to love. Boy, it's quiet in here. Did I shoot y'all or something? Look at verse 25. Husbands, what? Love your wives. As Christ also love the church. This is the practice. We got a pattern, ask Christ, and we got the practice, and that is the love, ask Christ. Whew. Now let's look and see how you love. Husband, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. First of all, you love it selflessly. Now, I'm going to just tell you, man, look at me. And I don't want to upset you. I might as well just tell you, I'm not out after you. This hits me. Instead of being selfless, I find sometimes we're selfish. The homes fall apart when men become selfish instead of selfless. Because, see, I'm supposed to love my wife as Christ loved the church. And he loved it selfless. He left his throne in glory. He left the glory of God and came down, got robed in human flesh. He was selfless. Wonder why our homes are a mess. It's because us men don't lead properly and we're too selfish. Instead of being selfless. Am I all right? Now let me go on. That's not all we do. Look at verse 25. Husbands, love your wife even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself what? Number two, not only do we love them selflessly, we love them sacrificially. We've got to die to ourselves. Jesus died. You know what needs to happen in our homes? We need one wedding and two funerals. We need to die daily. We need to sacrifice for our family. Sacrificing for our family means we sometimes put ourselves second. We look at the bigger picture. Amen. Now go on, let's go on. I'm everything okay? You said, how am I supposed to love my wife? Selflessly and sacrificially. Why is it we always want our wives to sacrifice and we don't want to sacrifice? Why is it they supposed to carry the load and we're supposed to carry the load? I have not said very much opinion at all yet. Verse 26, 27. Now this is a toughie. I want to give it to you. that he might sanctify and cleanse it. He's talking about Christ cleansing the church with the washing of the water of the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be with holy and without blemish. Not, we got to be selfless. We got to be sacrificial. But here's your job, man. And here's what we let down. I want every one of you, including me, tell you I let down here. We need to love our wives sanctifyingly. Sanctify them for the through thy truth, for thy word is truth. That's how we're sanctified. Now here it is. Men, you and I are supposed to be the spiritual leaders. And our job is to educate our wife and educate our children to fear and to walk for God. And I want you to know, I think that's forgotten. If we asked how many family altars here, I wonder how many people would stand up. If I asked you how much you pray to your children and pray with your husband, I wonder how many people stand up. I want to challenge you. When I do counsel, I want to challenge you on something. Why don't you do me a favor? Would y'all just practice this? I'm going to give you one job to practice. Okay? And I did this in counseling. I'm going to counsel you. You ought to have a time to read your Bible and pray with one another. But now, Rich, I'm going to give you some great counsel. If you both go to bed at the same time, and most of us do, here's what I want you to do. Try this sometime. I want you and Randy to do this. I want you and Randy, before you go to bed tonight, I want you to tell Randy all your prayer requests, anything on your heart. Then I want you verbally to pray for her. Just pray for her. Don't pray for yourself. Pray for her. Don't pray for the Lord. Pray for her. Then I want you to tell her your prayer request. Then I want her verbally to pray for you. Let me ask you a question. Do you think those two could go to bed mad? No. They ain't no way. They ain't no way. There is no way you could go to bed mad if you prayed with each other before you went to bed. And you know what you'll do? If there's any grudges you've had that day, you'll get them all rid of. You'll get rid of them right then instead of waiting for months and weeks to get rid of them and then get yourself bitter. Then you've got a mess in your home. Somebody help me, preach. My wife today brought some scripture up to me. Man, she threw me one. I'm not even going to tell you what it was. It might create controversy if I did. But she threw one at me. And I give her an answer. I did. And I think I was right. But she bucked on me a little bit. She said, I'm not sure I agree with you on that. Why? I started saying, well, I'm the leader. You got to. No, I just said, okay, honey, I'm going to think about what you think. Now, I'm not going to tell you what it was about, because I'll ruin this whole service if I did. But she had a good one, Chad. I mean, man, too deep for me. But my job is to lead. Now, you might say, I've never done that before. Won't you start with baby steps? Just read a half a chapter a day with your wife, if you haven't started that discipline. And pray with her. And then try to practice what I said about before you go to bed. Just pray. Just make this thing a spiritually intimate home. Look at verse 28. I'm almost done. I'm almost about to hurt mine. He said, oh, so ought men to love their wives as their own bodies, and he that loveth his wife loveth himself. By the way, we want our bodies satisfied. So how should we love our wife? We ought to love them satisfyingly. We ought to be, by the way, I'm not getting into the sexual, the physical part of this, but I want you to know, you got to do it properly and do it by scripture. And I won't go any further than that. If you want to know anything about that, I'll give you a good book to read. Then look at verse 30. Then we need to love them supremely. Look what it's saying. For as we are members of his body and of his flesh and of his bone, ain't nothing more superior than that. We are one with Christ. That's superior living. Now I'm done. I'm done. I don't want to be done, but I'm done. Listen, man. If you treat your wife like a queen, she'll treat you like a king. Let me say it again. You treat your wife as a queen, and she'll treat you like a king. You know what complaints I get from most wives about us? He takes me for granted. He doesn't tell me he loves me every day. I've heard that, okay? I'm like that one guy. Remember the guy that got married and said he loved his wife, and they went about 40 years, and they went to counseling, and she said, he just don't tell me he loves me every day. He said, I told you 4 years ago I loved you. If I change my mind, I'll tell you. That don't work. You know, John Smith's home's not perfect, but I tell my wife every day I love her. And I got two children. I got Julie back there. We never get off the phone without Julie telling me she loves me, and I tell her I love her. And old Rough James, every time I end the conversation with James, you know what he says? I love you, Dad. And let me give you a little something about that, and I'm done. Love covereth the multitude of sins. It's just something about it. I mean, I could be so aggravated about something, then they say, I love you, and I forget what I'm mad about. Let me ask you something. Do you want a successful home? I wonder how many couples, we're not talking about getting out of fellowship. I ain't saying nothing, but I just preach the word. I wonder how many of us would just get around the altar with our wife tonight and say, I want to be right. I want to be successful. I want God to bless me. I want to have a superior home and a successful home. Stand with me. I'm done. Hope God touched you today. I hope you can come forward and just pray with your husband. Pray and start practicing some of these truths. Father, I thank you for what you've done for us tonight. I pray you'll touch couples, touch us tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. Stand and just come and pray. I'm going to pray, you pray.
You know what we ought to do some Sunday night? We ought to just have a renew our vows Sunday night. Amen. If you go to Israel with me, I'll let you do them where the first miracle was done at Cana in Galilee. We go up there, won't we, Chad? And I hope you got some help today.